Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. So we are celebrating the completion of the Holy Name Week, and Gauranga Prabhu asked me to speak on this topic of the Holy Name, and specifically on the topic of the offenses against the Holy Name. And I will try to say something on this very important subject matter. I need your blessings for this, please, and at least good wishes. So we'll read first a very elaborate and enlightening purport by Srila Prabhupada on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's Antya Lila, chapter 4, text number 71. Taramadhi sarva shrestha nama sankirtan niraparadi nama loyle paya premadhan. Translation. Of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu gives the following direction in his Bhakti Sandarbha. I'll skip Sanskrit because not many will understand it. Chanting the holy name is the chief means of attaining love of Godhead. This chanting or devotional service does not depend on any paraphernalia, nor on one's having taken birth in a good family. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the verdict of all the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. That is the fulfillment of all great sacrifices, penances, and austerities, because when one achieves ecstatic love of Godhead, he attains the complete perfection of life. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, has been praised by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Namastakam. Verse number 1. Nikila Shruti Mauli Ratnamala Dyuti Nirajata Pada Pankajanta Ai Mukta Kulayaru Pasyamanam Paritastvam Harinama Samshrayami. O Harinam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of the gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adorned by the liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadev. O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. Similarly, Sri Sanatana Goswami has praised the chanting of the holy name as follows in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Jayati Jayati Namananda Rupa Murarir Viramita Nija Dharma Dhyana Pujadi Yatnam Katham api sakrita tam muktidam praninam yat. Paramamamritam ekam jivanam bhushanam me. All glories to the all-blissful holy name of Sri Krishna, which causes the devotee to give up all conventional religious duties, meditation and worship. When somehow or other uttered, even once, by a living entity, the holy name awards him liberation. The holy name of Krishna is the highest nectar. It is my very life and my only treasure. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, Etan nirvidyam ananam ichatam akuto bhayam yoginam nripa nirnitam harer nam anukirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all the material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by the dint of transcendental knowledge. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Yamaraja says, Etavan eva lokasmin pumsam dharma parakshmritaha bhakti yoga bhagavati tannama grahanadi bih. Devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said in his Shikshashtaka, Trinadati sunichina tarorivasa hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniyak sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Regarding the 10 offenses in chanting of the holy name, one may refer to Adi Lila, chapter 8, verse 24. Srila Prabhupada ki. Taramadi sarva shreshti nama sankirtan niraparadi nama laile paya premadan. Of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding the 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanulam Vitabhujo Kanakavadatu Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Daksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Yondah Pravishya Mamavacham Imam Prasuptam Sanjeevayata Kila Shakti Darakswadamna Anyamscha Hasta Charana Shravana Tvagadim Pranannamo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam Arade Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayasta Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramyaka Chidupasana Vrajavadu Vargena Yakalpitam Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartha Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradaro Naparaham. Hare Krishna. मैं हिंदी भी बोल सकता हूँ लेकिन अगर मैं हिंदी में प्रवचन करूँगा तो मेरा प्रवचन बहुत कम होता है इसलिए मैं अंग्रेजी बोलूँगा For all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this subject matter of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the most important. And we have to understand that there is a great science behind it. Sometimes we take it cheaply. Sometimes we take it very easy. Holy name is available, you know, we take it for granted practically. But if we compare our tradition with other religions, we can understand how great advantage do we have. Because, for example, in Judeo-Christian religion, there is no name of God disclosed on purpose, specifically because it is said there that you should not commit offenses against the holy name. Because if you do commit the offenses against the holy name while chanting the holy name, it will aggravate your situation. It may increase your material attachments and material desires. And therefore, the holy name purposefully is not disclosed in other traditions. In Judaism, it is said that the highest priest of the whole religion was allowed to chant the holy name of the Lord once so that nobody else would hear it. During the biggest festival, during the, you know, tumultuous commotion of everyone, he would chant very softly the holy name of the Lord, and only he could hear it, and only he knew the holy name of the Lord. So that is to say how important it is to avoid the offenses. And we have to really understand that this is a crucial subject matter. Not just to chant, but to chant without offenses. Because if we chant without offenses, everything is easy. But to chant without offenses is not easy. So that's the problem. That's the only... that's the crux of the issue. You know, if you chant without offenses, your way to God, it becomes very simple. In fact, you will see the Lord very quickly. It is said that if you chant the holy name of the Lord without offenses, you will see the Lord face to face. The only reason why we are not able to see the Lord face to face is this, because we are offensive by our very nature. And this offensiveness infiltrates into our spiritual practices. And basically the subject matter of my little presentation, a little lecture, will be how we should understand how it does manifest within our heart. What happens within our heart if we chant the holy name of the Lord offensively, and what we should do basically to avoid it. Of course, what we should do to avoid it is said by Srila Prabhupada in this purport. He's quoting Srila Jiva Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, saying that the only way to avoid offenses is to become meek and humble. But the very purpose of my lecture is to make you meek and humble. and of course to humble myself as well. Because if we hear this presentation, we will understand that there is some sort of severe offenses which we commit, and that manifest in certain psychological reactions which are taking place within our heart. And you know, it's always good to understand that I am not really okay. Because the only price which we have to pay to see Lord Krishna and to associate with him. Of course, it's nice to see how Mansi is dancing, and you know how she is teaching us how to take care of baby Krishna. But I think it will take some time before we will be able to do this. And the only condition which has to be fulfilled is to avoid offenses. Unless and until our offensive nature is completely eradicated from our heart, it will not be possible for us to see and to associate with Lord Krishna. It will be just a fancy idea. Nice idea. Beautiful idea. Yeah, I can joke with the Lord. Yeah, right. But who we think we are to joke with the Lord? It's quite an elevated position. And the only condition, again, the only condition, which is not at all simple, unfortunately, is to somehow rather subdue our offensive nature, which has a long history, which is not created even in this lifetime, which is deeply rooted within our heart, and actually formed our very basis of our conditioned existence. First of all, I wanted to start this description. I will mostly base my description on a few chapters of Bhaktisandarbha, the same treatise which Srila Prabhupada quotes here by Srila Jiva Goswami, where Srila Jiva Goswami systematically describes the practice of spiritual practices, sadhana. And if we really understand this, we have a chance to do it perfectly, as it is said in this particular quote, that that this is the complete perfection, that you can achieve the complete perfection of life. That is the fulfillment of all great sacrifices, penances, and austerities, because when one achieves ecstatic love of Godhead, he can attain the complete perfection of life. So, first of all, I want to start with the describing the difference between the pap, the sin, and the offense. Because sometimes, especially for people who are from other religious tradition, because in other religious tradition there is no distinction made. And in one sense there is no distinction, but from another point of view there is distinction. And first of all, I wanted to elaborate on this fine difference between apparat and pap. While giving the definition of both, what is apparat what is sin, what is pap, or so many other names are there in Sanskrit. So the sin, according to Sanskrit scriptures, has a very interesting definition. One of the names, one of the synonyms for sin is agha. The Sanskrit word agha comes from Sanskrit root gna. And gna means to kill. Gna means to eradicate, to vanish. Sin means something which is very difficult to get rid of. The implication, very important implication for us to understand, is that what is sin? Sin is something which leaves a very strong and deep impression, samskara, within our psyche, within our heart. In our citta, there is a collection of different samskaras, and they all have different degree of strength. And our present condition, state, our body and everything else, is the formation of the samskaras. But not every samskara. The weak samskaras are not count. Only very strong samskaras which constitute vasanas. According to yoga psychology, we are a collection of vasanas. And vasanas is a result of sin. Because again, by this definition, from this definition, we can understand that sin is anything which creates a very strong impression within our heart, and in this way makes us attach to repeat the same thing again and again and again. We are coming with some fixed nature, and this fixed nature is more or less pushes us in a certain direction. This is called karma. This is nothing but a certain energy. If the samskaras which are within our heart are very deep, they accumulate certain energy. And this energy manifests within our life by pushing us. Do it, do it, do it, do it again. You know, all those people, I hope it doesn't refer to you, but if I would speak in a Western audience, I would be completely sure that it does refer to the Western audience. You know, if you take drug, if you take alcohol, or if you even smoke, or even if you take, of course, it definitely refers to you, if you take chai, then you get attached to it. At one point, after, you know, of course, chai is a little weak, but, you know, even this weak drug can become very strong, you know. Chai, 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 if you go to by train, you know, you always hear this, chai, chai, chai. This is the most popular thing. So, you get very strongly attached to it. It's very difficult to break this habit. Everyone who was trying to break any of such habits knows how difficult it is. Mark Twain, American author, he once said, very hilarious thing, he said, to give up smoking is very easy. I have done it many times. It basically means, I cannot do this. You know, I'm trying to give it up. I cannot. Why? Because of this very definition of sin. What is sinful? What is labeled in the Shastras as sinful? It's very simple. The Shastras, they definitely caution us to be very careful with the things which makes us attach. attached to this body, attached to this material world, to the conception of pleasure which we have here. And that is sin. This is the definition of sin. But luckily, sin is a very easy thing to deal with. Because bhakti has such a tremendous power that it can eradicate sins in no time. It is said specifically in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you chant the holy name of the Lord once, all your sins are destroyed. Sometimes it is said in the scriptures that not only all your committed sins are destroyed, all your future sins are also destroyed. How it is, don't ask me, but I guess I can explain this, but let's go further. So the point here is very interesting. And we should never think that this is exaggeration. Because as soon as we think that this sort of description which is there in the scriptures is a sort of arthavad, exaggeration, to push you to chant the holy name of the Lord, we are guilty of severe offense against the holy name of the Lord. It basically means that we don't believe in the absolute power of the holy name of the Lord. And I will explain why and how, and I will also say something what our acharyas have to say. We may ask ourselves, so if it is so, why do we have to chant so many times, and why do we have to I'm chanting the holy name of the Lord and it doesn't work on me? Well, it did work on Anjamil. And somebody can ask that he was chanting the holy name of Narayana so many times, why he was still committing sins. And it's a very important information which I wanted to share with you now. Acharya said, and it definitely refers to our own life, that if you once chant the holy name of the Lord, let's do it just in case it works. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sins are indeed eradicated from our psyche, and if you still feel like committing sins, it only means that you're doing it by some mechanical habit. It's a very interesting notion. Acharyas say that Ajamil was continuing making his sins, but even after chanting the holy name of Narayan, before he was in the verge of death, or before he experienced, had the near-death experience, so to speak. But they say that as soon as you chant it once, the sins lose a lot of its power. You may still be kind of habituated to them, but only because you don't know what to do else in the life. You're just doing it mechanically without having too much pleasure. And, all of us who have this experience know that while coming to Krishna consciousness, you experience this very sort of sad situation that material enjoyment doesn't bring any enjoyment anymore, or bring the enjoyment in a much lesser degree than before, and you're trying and you're saying something is wrong with you, what's wrong with you? No, everything is okay with you, you're fine. Holy name worked. So Acharya says that as soon as you chanted the holy name, the sinful habits lost a lot of its power, and they are not really propelling you anymore. They are not really controlling you anymore. But if they are, this is not the sin. If they still are, have the power over you, and they're still very strong within your heart, it means or it indicates the presence of severe offense within your heart. And to make this information a little easier to digest, I have to say that every one of us to one degree or another is guilty of being offensive. In fact, you know, the very proof of it is that we have material body and mind. Material body is an indication of our sin and offenses. And that's a problem. And it will remain a problem until we have the material body. Now, once there was a very nice story. Once one bhakta was going to Srila Prabhupada, and he came and said, "Prabhupada, I have a problem." Prabhupada looked at him and said, "You don't have a problem. You are a problem." So next time you look in the mirror, you please say the same thing to you. You know, I don't have a problem. I am a problem. You know, the very fact that I have this material body and material mind and all my material baggage with me is a problem. It's problematic. But let's try to understand what is the difference between offense, aparad, and sin. Again, the very Sanskrit word gives us a very clear understanding of what is the difference. Apa is a prefix which indicates that something is far away. Apa, like English word apart. Apart means it's something apart of you. It's far away. It's in a distance, in a certain distance. It's coming from Sanskrit. So Sanskrit prefix apa means it takes you far away from what? From Radha. In this particular case, Radha means your ability to worship. The very name Radha means the best worshipper. She is the one who only can worship the Lord in a perfect way. She is the one who can give Him pleasure. She is the one who perfectly understands His mind and makes all the arrangements for Him to be pleased. It's all coming from the root, the Sanskrit root Rad, which means to worship, to be reverential, to serve, to do something nice. So aparada means something which takes us away from this ability to worship. Aparada is something which perverts our consciousness in such a way that we basically betray our nature as worshippers. By our very nature, by spiritual nature, being parts and parcels of the Lord, we are worshippers. And we can notice this tendency within our heart, we do want to worship somebody. You know, in this material world, people always worship somebody. I'm coming from Russia. Now in Russia, everyone is worshiping Putin. You know, whatever they will gain out of it remains to be seen. But still they do. You know, they're completely enamored by his personality. You know, here I guess Aishwarya Roy is more popular than Putin. Something like this. I don't know who is popular here. But people do have, you know, they become fans of this cinema star or this political leader or that leader. You know, there is the need is there. The need in the heart when we see something godly. When we see somebody in whom God's powers vibhuti, God's shakti, manifest to a certain extent, we become enamored and we want to do something, we want to worship, we want to do something to this person, something nice, we want to please him. You know, all the fans, they do something, you know, they offer presents. And they're very happy when they manage to please their object of worship. So what I mean to say is that this nature is there, and ultimately this nature is for the Lord, not for anyone else. When it is for somebody else, it's misdirected. And it will be frustrated sooner or later. It will not give us ultimate benefit. It will not give us any benefit ultimately, you know. It will just fix our position in this material world, and we will be, you know, we will go nowhere from here. So ultimately, it is for the Lord, it is for His pleasure, but aparat is something which destroys this nature, which something which distorts or perverts this nature of ours. And why it is much more difficult to deal with, because aparat is much deeper than the sin. Sin only touches the body and the mind. Whereas aparat goes right within the soul. Aparat more or less reinforces our offensive nature in the sense that we know that the original sin of every living entity who is here, conditioned in this material world, is that we are turned away from the Lord. We are bahirmukha. Bahirmukha basically means we don't want to see towards the Lord. We are looking in the opposite direction. Srila Jiva Goswami analyzes this problem as the root cause of all our problems. Any problem which we take, any disease which we have, even material disease, disease of the body, it's all coming from this root. Vaimukhyata. We don't want to see the Lord. We are at best indifferent to the Lord. We don't want to, you know, to have anything to do with Him. We don't have any nice feelings to Him. We're not grateful to Him. We're more or less, if we worship Him, we are doing it by force, more or less, unless we are a very exceptional case. Or we do, you know, just we worship Him for ourselves. And that's also a disease of the soul. That's the disease of the soul. I don't want to see the Lord. I want to see Maya. You know, so many times we can, you know, observe this tendency within ourselves. When we listen to the lecture, I know I give lectures all the time, and I always have to, you know, cut some jokes, otherwise I will lose my audience very soon. You know, it's not possible just to speak about God all the time without cutting jokes. You have to somehow or other put something there which brings the attention back. But you don't experience this when you read some news in newspaper. You know, your attention is right there. You don't need any jokes. You can just hear this crazy news about this world. You know, or you go to internet and it's so far out. You know. You know, you're attracted to this. What I want to say is that there is a natural attraction within every conditioned living entity towards this material world. You don't have to develop this attraction. You don't have to chant Hare Maya, Hare Maya, Maya Maya, Hare Hare. Whatever. You know, you don't have to, you know, chant the name of Maya to be attracted to it. By your nature, Svabhavik say, you are attracted to it. That's the proof that this is the problem. This is the problem which everyone has to deal with. And this is the offense. Because what else is it? If we don't want to see the Lord, if we don't want to have anything to do with the Lord, if we're totally indifferent, at best indifferent to Him. Some people become very hateful towards the Lord. That's Asuric nature. When this conditioned nature becomes aggravated, when disease becomes really serious, the Asuric nature becomes aggravated, they hate the Lord. Hiranyakashipu is the example, Ravana is the example, they hate the Lord. The Lord is right there in front of them. What do they want? They want to kill Him. As foolish as they are. You know, Hiranyakashipu was a very knowledgeable person. He had spiritual knowledge. He preached about the spiritual nature of the soul in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to pacify his relatives. But still, when it comes to the Lord, he just wants to kill Him. He knows that it's not possible to kill the soul, but somehow or other he thinks that it's possible to kill the source of the soul. Isn't it strange? This is how the perverted nature can manifest within ourselves. And this Vaimukhyata or Bahirmukhata, desire not to see the Lord, the attraction to the material world, is extremely strong. So the offense, this is the definition of offense or parad. Offense is any action which is done with the intention which is more or less reinforcing our vaimukhyata. Offense is the action which is done with certain intention to destroy this worship, the nature of the worshipper which we have within our soul. When we act with a certain intention against others to inflict pain, not understanding the spiritual a connection between the living entities and God, when we have some some ill feelings, more or less, it's one thing if we just commit sin to enjoy ourselves. It's one thing if we manipulate others, if we exploit others, if we inflict pain to others, and especially if we feel some pleasure by doing this. This is an offense. This is aparat. Because this will definitely reinforce our already offensive nature. Or if we behave in such a way as to separate somebody from the Lord, this is also an aparat. If you remember, the second offense of the holy name is to consider the holy name of Shiva as separate from the holy name of the Lord. Why it is offensive? Because we want to separate Shiva from the Lord, but he is connected. We sever the connection. And if we behave in an offensive way with other living entities, it also means that we sever the connection within our mind, within our heart, of this living entity with the Lord. We don't understand that this particular living entity is also a part and parcel of the Lord. I can do whatever I like. Then I'll go to the temple and then I worship to the Lord to be forgiven. No. See, this is an offense. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that ultimately, if you're inflicting pain to anyone, not to speak about devotees, this is an offense. This is aparat. This is what destroys the most valuable traces within our heart which we do have. The desire to worship and ultimately the desire and understanding that the Lord is the worshipful object, worshipable object of every living entity. So that's the distinction between aparad and the sin. And that's why sin is so easily eradicated. It's only in the mind. Aparad is within the heart, within the soul. and the effect of aparat is much, much deeper. And it can actually haunt us life after life after life. Sometimes we may be very neglectful, and to make the situation worse, we as devotees have much more facilities to commit aparats than the normal people out there on the street. You know, other people, they may not be, you know, so they may be very innocent in one sense. But when we commit even sinful activities, knowing that this is bad, this is an aparat. This is namaparat. This is aparat against the holy name. This is something which will have lasting effects. And therefore, basically, as far as the practicalities are concerned, the only thing which we have to know is what is aparat and how we have to avoid it. Chanting is very easy. Technically, it's very easy. And Prabhupada, he said, you know, chant and be happy. And we chant and we are happy for some time, but not for long. The chanting, all these effects which are described in the Vedic literature again and again and again, and described by the acharyas again and again and again, are very foreign for us. Srila Rupa Goswami, he says in his famous verse in glorification of the holy name, na jane janito, what is this? Krishna varna dvayam, amritam kya Krishna varna dvayam. He says, I don't know how much nectar is there in these two syllables, Krishna. And when we read this, we can confirm this. I don't know how much nectar in these two syllables, too. Just, he doesn't know and I don't know. But the meaning is different. We don't know. And he just cannot estimate it. He just gets it and he's amazed how much nectar is there. And we are amazed that there's no nectar is there. Na jane janito kiya dvayam Krishna varnam dvaya. So that's our situation. That's the disease. We are diseased. Srila Rupa Goswami says we have this jaundice, and therefore, sometimes the acharyas, they gave the comparison, if somebody has a fever, and it's a high fever, and then while eating, he doesn't have taste, right? You know, you eat and it tastes like grass, you know, something. Yeah, you just chew it and no taste. Why? Is it the fault of the rasgulla which is there? No, rasgulla is fine. Rasgulla is very juicy. But we don't have the buds, the tasting buds to feel this nectar. And this atrophy, this senselessness of our organ, which is the heart, is because of the offenses which we have committed. Srila Jiva Goswami explains the very subtle signs of this commitment, of us committing the offenses. The gross signs we know in general. We don't know that it manifests in a lack of taste, in a lack of general enthusiasm, lack of taste in chanting. That's definitely there. We have to be very clear about this. And of course, ultimately, we have to be clear that the very fact that we don't see the Lord is the proof that we are offensive. Because as soon as the offenses are cleared, then we will see the Lord. But let's consider the degrees of offenses first. The offenses can be of different degrees. And these different degrees of offenses or offensive nature may manifest in a different way in us. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the offenses are classified according to the degree into two categories. The first category is brihat. Brihat means very big, very severe, very heavy offenses. And the other one is samanya. Samanya means every one of us doing it. That's what samanya means. Samanya means little lighter. But then he says again, he classifies the samanya offenses into again two categories. So altogether it's three categories of offenses according to the degree. Brihat, very severe. And samanya, he says, samanya can be because of our because we're chanting namabhas. Samanya basically means that we are on the level of abhas, namabhas. And samanya means we are chanting chaya namabhas or pratibimba namabhas. And I will explain a little later what does it mean. Pratibimba means distorted reflection of the holy name. Pratibimba means we are chanting the holy name with the ulterior purpose in mind. We want to achieve something else and we use the holy name as the means to achieve this. We don't consider the holy name as the end itself. We are using it as a tool, instrument for to achieve our goals. And Chaya Namabhas basically means the shadow of the holy name. It means that it's a reflected name, it's a shadow of the holy name which we received from a pure devotee. Somebody gave us the holy name and it's ringing within our heart. That's why Srila Radhanath Maharaj, when he says, please chant, and you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then he says, please 10 million times louder. to make this impression, to give us the impression of this chaya, of the shadow of the real holy name. So basically, let us understand these three degrees of the chanting. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also compares aparats or anarthas with the cloud. And he says, the cloud of anarthas, they cover the sun of the holy name. They cover our consciousness as much as the cloud cannot cover the sun. Can the cloud cover the sun? No, it can only cover our vision. The sun is too big. The cloud is really insignificant in front of the sun. But still, the cloud can cover our vision. So as soon as anarthas or paradas come, they cover the sun of the Lord and we don't see him. But at the same time, according to the degree of the density of the cloud, the effect can be different. We don't see the sun when it's clouded, when the sky is clouded. We don't see the sun. But still, especially now, you know, sometimes the sky is clouded. But we feel what? We feel the effects of the sun. What are the effects of the sun? Light and heat, right? Light and heat. In the same way, when the apparatus are not very severe, we still can feel the presence of the Lord and His mercy to a certain extent. In the same way as you know, light and heat is the symptoms of the sun. In the same way, a kind of feeling. A soft feeling which sometimes comes within our heart. God is there. He hears my prayers. He is there for me. You know, this very, you know, that He is there. He wants me to serve Him. This is, even though I don't see Him, still, this feeling is there. It means that aparats are not so severe. as much as the when clouds are not so dense, you know, we feel both heat and light. But when the clouds become really dense, you know, I'm coming from Moscow, and Moscow, Indians who live in Moscow, they say there's only two seasons in Moscow. It's white winter and green winter. So it's usually cold even during the summer. So for Indians, there is no summer there. It's just green winter. Yeah, it's green, but winter. And there is, of course, very outrageous white winter. So in Russia, when the clouds here, it's probably, you probably will not experience it too often. When the clouds are very dense, and still you see the light, but you don't feel what? The heat. You know, when the clouds are dense, still the light is there, but the heat is not there. It may be the daytime, but you're really freezing, you know. Yeah, sometimes during the winter time in Vrindavan, you're really freezing if the sky is clouded. It's really cold. Why? Because the clouds are very dense. So this is the next stage. First was the Chaya Namabhas. Another one was Pratibimba Namabhas. Pratibimba Namabhas means that you still have the faith in the Lord, but you don't really feel His personal presence or His personal mercy within your heart. You kind of feel that you are abandoned. And you're doing this. Why people are using the Holy Name as the means? Because they are not happy. They want to get something from the Lord. And in other religions, it's very common. That's why it is not even recommended for people with different philosophical understanding to chant the Holy Name, because they only use the Lord as the means for their ends. You give me this or you give me that, and you made my child happy and healthy, and let me pass the exam. That's a very ardent prayer within our heart. Dear Sisi Radha Gopinath, even if you so desire, and even if you don't desire this, please make me pass my exam. Please. So, if your attitude is this, the effect which you will feel is that, you know, you still know that God is there, but you don't really feel His personal presence within your life. Within your, you know, He's not directing you. He kind of abandoned you, and He did abandon you. As much as, you know, we don't feel the warmth of the sun. Sun is still warm, but we don't feel it. Why? Because of the cloud of offenses. And last is when the clouds become so dense that you don't see the light of the sun at all. It is said in the description of Govardhan Lila that, you know, all of a sudden when this Samvartaka clouds came, all of a sudden it became pitch dark. It became night during the day. Really, you don't see anything. And that basically means when the offenses become so severe, you say, God is not there. I don't believe it. And so many people live in this complete darkness of offensiveness. There is no God. There is no God. They may be big scientists, big whatever they are, you know, like this Hawking. He wrote recently a very famous bestseller, There's No God, or something like this. I don't know what's the name of this bestseller. I'm not going to read it. Not to reinforce my offensive nature even more, you know. So, you know, so many people say, no God, no God. No, only matter. Where this matter, dear sir, where this matter is coming from, it's always there. You know, if how come it's always there? It means that there is some original cause of everything. Why not God? Why matter? You know, it's so ridiculous. You know, we are from this matter. The matter was, you know, there for some time, and then it created us. You know, sometimes, you know, the scientists say that there was a Big Bang. You know, as a result of this Big Bang, many people become little crazy in the, you know, because when there is a Big Bang, something has become wrong with the brain, you know. So, Big Bang, all of a sudden, bang! And, here I am. A result of Big Bang. You know, if you say, I remember myself, I have a scientific background myself, and I was into it completely, because it's a very good excuse not to be grateful. And once I was studying the genetics, and I was studying the DNA and genome and how it works, and I became very convinced that I am just, you know, a combination of genes. And once my mother told me something, you should do something. I don't remember what was it. And I said, well, why should I do this? You know, because you're my son and I'm telling you. And I said to her, I am not your son. I am a combination of genes. She couldn't forgive me for many years. She would always call me, hey, combination of genes, come here. And if we say the same to the Supreme Father, he basically say, if you want to become a combination of genes, it's up to you, I don't mind. but what I mean to say, it's offensive. You basically don't want to admit that you are here not without a reason, that there is some cause. You are not just here because you are so great, or because you just, you know, happen to appear here. There is some cause, and you have to have some relationship with the cause. So when the scientists developed this. A sort of attitude, it means severe offenses. That's their experience. There is no doubt about it. And this world is designed in such a way that our experience is being confirmed. Whatever I believe in will be confirmed. If I believe that there is no God, it will be confirmed again and again and again. If I believe that God doesn't have form, it will be confirmed to me again and again and again. I will get so many confirmations. If I believe that God has form, I will also get the confirmation that He does have form. So it's very important to have the proper sambandha jnana, proper understanding of the reality. It's very important to understand that God does have form, and He's the person. It means that I can be offensive. I can commit offenses, because there are much more chances for us to commit offenses against the person. You know, it's very difficult to offend my computer. Of course, sometimes it get offended. You know, I do something stupid and it strikes. It says, no, I don't want to have anything to do with this, you know, stupid user. But usually it doesn't take offenses. It just works. But we all know how easy it is to offend a person. You basically don't have to do anything to offend somebody. Usually you don't have to do anything. You may look at somebody and, you know, somebody got hurt. Or whatever it is, especially if we have close relationship. Especially if we try to develop close relationship, as in our case, and we do want to develop close relationship. So, therefore, we have to really understand the nature of the offenses and carefully avoid them. Oh, I didn't even start my lecture, but that was introduction to the lecture. But I already, you know, I quickly finish the rest of what I wanted to say. Srila Jiva Goswami, in this section which I wanted to describe by giving such a long preface to it, says that the immediate effect which you can see within yourself of the offenses is that you don't see the spiritual nature of those things in this world which do have spiritual nature. What happens with us, our vision becomes dull, becomes perverted, and we only see the material side of basically Bhakta, Bhagavan, and Bhakti. There are three very obvious manifestations of the spiritual nature available to us within this world. That is Bhagavan in the form of his deity, in the form of his holy name. And what we, our perception, because it's perverted by our offenses, is that it's just material sound. Srila Jiva Goswami goes to the very great extent explaining how the name is Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, that it's actually self-manifest. It's not that we are chanting the name. The name manifests itself within our tongue. It's very difficult concept for us to understand. For us, it's just the same thing, the same process which is there when we chant any other material sound. But the process is different. And the proof of it is very severe. I don't want you to have the proof of it, but I have seen the proof of it, and I will quote an example from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Benares, then one of his Brahmana follower, very nice devotee, came to him and said, please do something about this Mayavadi sannyasis. They are so offensive. They say God is nirakar, God is God doesn't have senses, he is deaf, he is dumb, he is blind, you know, he doesn't have legs, he doesn't have hands. He's basically, they're just, you know, they're putting God in this category of complete invalid, complete, you know. And they say, amazingly enough, I came to them, and they're speaking this lofty philosophy, but they cannot pronounce the name of Krishna. They say Chaitanya, but they cannot say Hari, they cannot say Krishna. And believe it or not, I've seen people who were former devotees, who committed severe aparats, they just cannot chant. The name just does not come on their tongue because of the severity of the offenses which they committed. Because the offenses are so bad. What I want to say is that Srila Jiva Goswami, again, depending on the degree of our offensiveness, he say that we see the manifestations of Bhakta, Bhagavan, and Bhakti within this world as something material. You know, sometimes we do feel that holy name is not just material sound, that there is something more to it. Sometimes we do, right? Sometimes in the kirtan we are completely carried away by the beautiful sound of the holy name, or sometimes while chanting we chant and we cannot stop. We rarely, but we do have this experience. But usually we perceive it as something material, as a material sound. We perceive the deity as material. You know, Prabhupada, when he was seeing the deities, looking at the deities, he said, I put these two beautiful boys and they're playing on the altar in Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. You know, and sometimes people see, they come and they see the lilas which the deity perform, and we see, you know, because we are dull. And because we are dull, we see this as a dull matter. We don't see the spiritual nature of it. And in the same way, in a more In a more exemplary way, in a sense, we cannot recognize the spiritual nature of devotees. We just see, so many people are there, some people are here and some people are there, some people are sitting, some people are chanting, they are pretenders. Sometimes people say this, so what, I know this, they are pretenders. Now we don't see the spiritual nature of a spiritual master, we see, nice man, very nice, speaks nicely, has a special gift of speaking nicely. This is ridiculous. This is again our offensive nature. We can't recognize the spiritual nature, the signs of spiritual nature. We only see matter. And especially if the devotees manifest some faults, we only see the faults. We don't see their aspirations, their sincere desire to come close to the Lord. We don't see this, we don't count this, we don't count their bhakti. Or sometimes we see the bhakti. Somebody is chanting a lot, or some simple lady, she's crying, and we say, sentimental, stupid lady. We may not say this, but we think, sahajiya, sahajiya. How do you know? How do you know she's sahajiya? Maybe she's just really feeling for the Lord. So we don't see the nature of Bhakti Bhagavan and Bhakta, the spiritual nature. We don't see the spiritual nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. When Pundarik Vidyaniti heard just one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Ahobaki, Samstana Kalakutam, Jigam Sayapayaya Tapya Sadvi, Lebhega Tir, Dhatruchitam Tatonyat, Kamvadayalam Saranam Vrajema. He just heard this verse, one verse, and he just fainted, he started crying. Ahobaki Yamstana Kalakutam. And we heard this verse, and nothing happened to us. So what? What's so special about it? We read the Bhagavatam, we don't feel the spiritual nature, the spiritual message doesn't penetrate our asmasharam, our steel covered heart. Again, because of these offenses. So that's the first point which I want to make. And I really have to be more expedient. Our vision changes, and because our vision changes, we become even more prone to commit offenses. So very quickly, because we don't see the spiritual nature, and our attitude towards Bhakta Bhagavan and towards the deity, towards Krishna, towards the holy name, towards Bhagavatam, towards the process of bhakti, becomes offensive. Sometimes people say, bhakti is nice, this is for labor class, or for women, the real man, they should perform yoga, or whatever it is. It's so ridiculous, so many ridiculous misunderstandings are there. So basically, Srila Jiva Goswami elaborately, and I will not be able to elaborately describe this even if I wanted, but he elaborately describes what happens within our heart when we commit offenses, and he gives examples from the scriptures of different people who offended the Lord, and because of the offense, certain things took place within their heart. He basically says there are five effects, five psychological effects of aparad. The first psychological effect is kautilyam, which means crookedness. The second psychological effect is ashradha, which means facelessness. The third psychological effect is Bhagavat Nishta Chyavaka Bhagavat Nishta Chyavaka Ant Tara Binivesha, the attachment, the internal attachments to the things which destroy our fixity in devotional service, our nishtha in Bhagavan, our faith in God. Then the next is Bhakti Shaithilyam, which is laziness, our indifference or laziness towards bhakti. And the last one is Svabhakti Adi Krita Manitvam, the pride of our achievements in bhakti. And I will briefly describe these things. And in my humble opinion, even though some devotees, they interpret it differently, and Srila Jiva Goswami does not clearly see this, but they are listed according to the extent or to the level of the severity of the offense. The first sign or the first manifestation of offense, either committed in this life or committed in the previous life, is kautilyam, which means the crooked nature, crookedness of our heart, not straightforwardness. Some cleverness. We become little clever, and we all know we are very clever. You know, even if you take a little child, sometimes the child becomes so clever, you know. The adults usually can see through his cleverness, but he still, in a very clever way, try to cheat. Basically, cheating nature, cheating propensities. If you have cheating propensity, please very loudly chant Hari Bol. Nice. It helps to get rid of them. So basically, it means crookedness, not straightforwardness, that we want to manipulate other people, that we want some. And basically, Srila Jiva Goswami, he gives a very interesting definition of crookedness. He says this specific kind of crookedness or crooked nature, which is the result of offenses. You know, the crooked nature, if we were straightforward, it would mean that we were not offensive. And there are some simple people, and this simplicity, saralata, is a very valuable quality for every devotee. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he used to say that saralata matlab vaishnavata. You know, saralata ye vaishnavata. You know, Vaishnava means simple. You know, in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna manifests his simple nature. In fact, the very name Arjuna means simple. From the root Riju. Riju means simple, straightforward. Arjuna, simple. You know, Duryodhana is very crooked. He goes to his master, his spiritual master, he tries to manipulate him, he is very political, he is, you know, he always calculates, and Arjuna says, no, Krishna, I don't want to fight, you know, I'm, you know, he openly admits this. What can I say? He is fearful, and Duryodhana is fearful. Arjuna manifests his fear, Duryodhana is trying to cover his fear. This is the crooked nature. But in this particular case, Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very beautiful definition of crookedness. He says that if you commit an offense, it will manifest as that you externally will have respect towards Krishna, towards your spiritual master, towards other devotees, but internally you will not have. That's the crookedness. Anadarat, you will be disrespectful within. You will not show it. You will still continue doing the same thing. You will say vanchakalpatarubhyascha, and you know, pay obeisances, and you know, you may even externally glorify the devotees, but within you will burn from this disrespectfulness. The real respectfulness will not be there. It may manifest towards the deity, it may manifest more commonly towards the devotees, it may manifest in severe cases towards a spiritual master. And Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very beautiful example of Duryodhan. Duryodhana made an amazing, gorgeous reception for Lord Krishna when Lord Krishna came as the messenger from the Pandavas to Hastinapur. Oh my goodness, it was a Maha Maha Utsav, you know. They were planning for weeks how to receive Lord Krishna, how to please him. They would find out what he likes the most, and they knew that he likes the chanting, so everywhere the Harinams. They made holy name week in the streets of Hastinapur. You know, people were chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Jai, Hare Bol. You know, and they were cooking the best food, the most choosest, you know, and you know, so much so that even the best palace in Hastinapur was owned by Dukshasan. So Duryodhana said, Dukshasan, you move out from this palace, we will give this palace to Krishna. And Krishna, he came to Hastinapur, he looked, he glanced over this, you know, huge arrangement. There were, you know, banana tree arches and rose water sprinkled all over, and beautiful women, because Krishna likes women, and they were dancing Bharatanatyam, you know, Achyuta Govinda Damodara Haribo. You know, it was so nice, you know, so beautiful, you know. Krishna glanced at this. Actually, it is said in Mahabharata, he didn't even glance at this. He just closed his eyes and he closed his ears. And then he went straight to the humble hut of Vidura. Even though huge feast was waiting for him, and Duryodhana was cooking this feast, and so many the best cooks were cooking this feast for him. And Lord Krishna came to Vidura, and there Vidura was feeding him with banana peel. And he was eating this banana peel and saying, such a tasty banana peel. And the next day he came to Duryodhana, and Duryodhana, he started rebuking him. He said, how is that proper? You are our relative. You are not only relative of Pandavas. You're coming to us, why you're not even coming to, we want to receive you nicely, why you're not coming? It's not proper. You're supposed to be impartial. We love you, Krishna, that's what Duryodhana told. We love you, Krishna. We made such a nice arrangement. And Krishna says, no, you don't like me. You don't love me, because you don't love Pandavas. And because you hate Pandavas, you hate me. And I'm not going to take your food because I'm not hungry. Vidura's banana peel was good enough for me to be completely satisfied. And he said also very beautiful thing, because before that, you know, Dhritarashtra, he would, speaking with Sanjay or with Vidura, Dhritarashtra was speaking with Vidura, several chapters in Mahabharata, he's speaking to Vidura and says, when Janardana comes here, I will give him this. I will give him that many elephants, and I will give him cavalry, and I will give him the best cloth, and the best food, and the best, you know, whatever the best I have. And Vidura was listening and said, you don't want to please Janardana. And therefore Janardana doesn't need it. So it is specifically said by Srila Jiva Goswami, if you're crooked, then Krishna will not accept your offerings. He will not accept your chanting, your shravanam, your kirtanam. It will be, you know, still you have to do it, but you have to try to be as straightforward as possible, especially in regard to the devotees. You have to be genuinely respectful to them. because they are very dear to Krishna and they are very close to his heart. And if we disrespect them and if we offend them, we offend him directly. It's a severe offense. This is the first offense against the holy name. And we cannot afford to commit this offense. It's very bad. It's very bad. So the next... I'm sorry, I'm really going quickly from now on. The next result, psychological result, which we can very acutely feel within our heart is Ashraddha. Ashraddha means facelessness. We lose face gradually. And again, Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very beautiful definition of that. What does it mean? I cannot go into details and give an examples, but basically what he says that gradually our Shraddha, which also means respect, because Shraddha doesn't only mean faith or trust, Vishwas. Shraddha means respect. That gradually our faith becomes less, so much so that even if we see the direct and glorious display of the power of bhakti, we don't believe in it. Basically, what he wants to say, Ashraddha means that we see the power of bhakti directly with our eyes, and we don't believe it. That's what Ashraddha means. Sometimes devotees, they manifest, and he gives, I will give a little example. He gives an example of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was very, again, intelligent man, and he ordered his powerful demons to attack his little son Prahlad. And while praying to the Lord, Prahlad specifically asked, "My Lord, please protect me so that all these demons would see the huge power of bhakti." You know, Hiranyakashipu sent these huge elephants to trample over Prahlad. Or the demons were running to him with iron weapons, and they were trying to hit him with iron weapons. Nothing happened with a small boy. As if he was shielded. And specifically, that was the purpose in mind in Prahlad. Prahlad wanted to show the power of bhakti. Did they understand the power of bhakti? No. Somehow or other, it didn't dawn to them. The direct manifestation is there. No, I don't believe it. It's somehow or other, it's just by chance. By chance, we couldn't kill him. By chance. When Duryodhana, he again gives the example of Duryodhana. When Duryodhana saw the universal form of the Lord directly in front of his eyes, and everyone was amazed, and everyone paid obeisances and started offering prayers, and everyone was completely overwhelmed, and everyone was totally terrified by this huge universal form which Krishna showed directly, Duryodhana looks and said, "Oh yeah, he's a mystic yogi. I don't believe it." You know, even when we hear about the power of bhakti, we don't believe it. And sometimes we do hear about the power of bhakti and we don't believe it. And sometimes we do hear that you should chant the holy name of the Lord just once and everything will be all right with you, and we don't believe it. Why it is? Because of the committed offenses. Ashraddha. Ashraddha means we see or don't see, we hear, and still we don't believe it. We still don't believe it. So many things we don't believe because of the offensiveness. That's Ashraddha. And then the next point, is Bhagavat Nishta Chyavaka Antara Binivesha. The internal absorption into the things which destroy bhakti, which destroy Bhagavan Nishta. We may have achieved some Nishta, some steady faith in Krishna, in Bhagavan, But all of a sudden, due to offenses, and again, I think it's the most severe manifestation. We find ourselves, if we committed some severe offense, we find ourselves that all the problems which we had, all the attachments which we had before, become even stronger in our mind and in our heart. And we become internally absorbed in them. We still continue with our practice of bhakti externally, but internally we become very much attached to the things which destroy our fixity. And we know that it destroys, we know it's not good. Still we become, and I've seen how it happens. Devotee may commit some offense. Before he was very nice, following very easily, was very happy. You know, he commits offense, he cannot do anything. He just, you know, he still continues, but internally he's so weak. He just completely, totally attached to all the detrimental things, things which destroys bhakti, basically. That's the next stage, the third stage. The fourth stage is bhakti shaithilyam. And bhakti shaithilyam means laziness to bhakti. To the extent that we cannot really perform bhakti anymore. We become so slack in our practice. The indifference or the, you know, we become so weak spiritually that we cannot really even simple things we cannot do, even chant 16 rounds. It's so simple to chant 16 rounds. But it becomes such a huge task for all of a sudden sometimes. And again, Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very beautiful definition. He says, bhakti shaithilya means a certain condition when you become bhakta, when you come to Krishna consciousness, you become less absorbed in your body. You become kind of indifferent to the diseases. You're not taking it so seriously. Even to the death. You're not so afraid of death. So if you commit offense, again, in a very strong way, the absorption within the body comes back to you. Even in a stronger way. And you become very much absorbed in the needs of the body, in the bodily sukha and dukkha, happiness and distress. You know, little distress, you become so, you know, you cannot chant, you're distracted. Little happiness, you're distracted. Basically, again, this the material nature takes toll and becomes strongly prominent within our consciousness, and that's a result of offense. Whereas, you know, when we are in normal condition, we are not so, you know, we are more concentrated on the spiritual things, and even pain is there. I know that there is one devotee now I'm dealing with, he has severe pain. I mean, really severe pain. Some operation was done to him, and he was, it was not successful operation. He has frozen shoulder. He cannot sleep for weeks and months. And he chants the holy name with such relish, it's just unbelievable. And he doesn't care about the pain. Why? Because he's not offensive. He's really a very straightforward person. And the holy name gives him such an experience that he just doesn't care about the pain. And we know about ourselves, little kind of little things is there, and yeah. All our attention goes to this little drop of blood, you know. We become, it's too much absorption in the body and bodily needs. And the last thing, and you know, I'm finishing my lecture. In time. So at 3 o'clock I was asked to finish. So the last thing is Svabhakti Adi Krita Manitvam. We become very proud. I'm such a great devotee. It's amazing, but I have seen this personally. Someone may be in a very fallen condition, completely slack in his practice, completely indifferent, completely in a very severe stage of offensive sort of disease of offenses, and he comes about and say, I'm such a great devotee, look at me. I have done so much. You know, I've seen one such devotee. He was in a very high position in our movement at one point, and he became very slack in his devotional service, and he started saying, everyone says Prabhupada, 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 but we also have done something. So again, Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very amazing and beautiful definition. He says, if somebody starts saying this again and again and again, advertising himself and his achievements in bhakti, as much as, you know, this is a demonic mentality, this is the asuric pravritti. Demonic mentality, beautifully described in Bhagavad Gita itself. Krishna says that asuras, they say, I am so great, I perform this sacrifice, and tomorrow I will perform even bigger sacrifice, and this and that, and you know, this is the last degree of the disease, offensive disease, which will take place when you, instead of becoming humble, becoming more and more proud by the fact, by the dint of performing bhakti. And unfortunately, every senior devotee who has a lot of experience can prove that I was much more humble in the beginning, I am so proud now. Even though by that time I have heard Trinadapi Sunichina verse at least 1 lakh time, still I'm more proud. Why offenses took place? And therefore there is the only one remedy to this, which Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport, is to try to be very conscious and conscientious about the practice of the holy name. See how glorious it is, understand how glorious it is, and how you know, amazing facility we have, how rare chances we have, how amazing things we can achieve by the chanting of the holy name. So we should be very, very diligent and conscientious towards this practice, and avoid offenses by all means, especially offenses against the devotees, and be very, very meek and humble and respectful as much as it is possible in our proud condition of our heart, of our offensive heart. But still, you know, by the conscious endeavors, we can overcome this nature and develop the real bhav towards the Lord, which will be the greatest perfection in our life, and which will reward us tremendously. Thank you very much. You make me very proud. Anyway, I was doing it only because Gauranga Prabhu asked me to do this. Here I am. Thank you very much again. Thank you. I guess we don't have time. No? Questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much for taking us to the super excellent depth of the subject matter. My question is a little longer, but kindly bear with me. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya explains about the two categories of the living entities, Nitya Mukta and Nitya Baddha, eternally liberated and eternally conditioned. Eternally conditioned souls experience varieties of miseries, and amongst them, going to hell is the worst. And in the spiritual sky, the eternally liberated souls are experiencing ever-increasing bliss in the service of the Lord. Now in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in three different slokas that anyone who comes to my abode never returns to the material world. In the Jai Vijay episode, Srila Prabhupada concludes that no one ever falls from the material world. So now when we say that we are here with the misuse of the spirit, misuse of the free will, is it not an offense to those personalities in the spiritual world who are serving them in the sense that we are alarming that if you misuse your sense, you will also be with amongst us.
It's a big offense, no doubt about it. But it's a big subject matter which I cannot touch in my brief answer. The only thing which I can say is that, if we fall from spiritual position here in this material consciousness, state of consciousness, we should understand that we are falling from sort of tatastha situation, tatastha situation, in between situation. It means that we are not really in full, complete service of the Lord, because what Prabhupada was meaning to say when he said that we left the spiritual world, he wanted to stress one point: the freedom of will, our free will. When Acharyas wants to emphasize the overwhelming experience of pure devotional service in the spiritual world, they say nobody goes away from Krishna because it's just not possible. The explanation of this is that those spirit souls who come here in this material world, they don't experience the direct service of the Lord. They are more or less in the periphery of the spiritual world, whatever it is, and don't have the direct access to the service of the Lord, and don't have the direct experience of relationship with the Lord. That's only. So we are not offending those souls, definitely, who are directly serving the Lord, because everything is fine with them and they don't come back, as Krishna himself says. So something like this, but it's a big subject matter.
Hare Krishna.
Last question. Okay, last question. Last question. Okay.
The laws of karma are so stringent, and now we are doing bhakti yoga. So by doing all this process and in the laws of karma, can we escape the material world?
We definitely can. It's very easy to escape the material world, to get the liberation from material world is easy by the process of bhakti. It's not so difficult. To enter into personal relationship with Krishna is much more difficult. So we are not just trying to get the liberation. Liberation is not difficult. Just perform your bhakti nicely, you will be liberated from this material world, no problem. The task in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is much more difficult, to enter into personal relationship with the Lord, and I wish you all success in this difficult undertaking. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. We are going to see one video now, so devotees are requested to be seated. Hare Krishna.
And I beseech you again and again, please remember, worldwide ISKCON grassroots Nam Sankirtan revolution. Revolution means revolution. It means we have to shed pounds and gallons of blood to get the job done. We have to turn this movement inside out, upside down, whatever we have to do, but we have to put Nam Sankirtan back into its rightful place of dignity in the forefront of our movement. It's absolutely essential for the proper growth of our movement. Those who understood this are awake to the need of the hour, and those who have not understood it are still sleeping. It's time to wake up and understand what is the responsibility of every man, woman, and child in this movement. To take seriously that Dharma which Lord Chaitanya himself inaugurated for the deliverance of all fallen conditioned souls. For the rest of this Kali Yuga, there's another 427,000 years left to Kali Yuga. The Yuga Dharma doesn't change. The next Yuga is Satya Yuga. And for them, contemplative peaceful meditation is where it's at. But in Kali Yuga, you got to get fired up. Every one of you, fired up, chanting, dancing from the heart, like you really mean it, like you really want Lord Chaitanya's mercy, so that you can even think, you can even hope to go back home, back to Godhead in this one lifetime. It's not a joke, it's the real thing. So stand up and do what's right. Do the real thing. Perform Nam Sankirtan daily, every day, for as many hours as possible. And you'll get there. I guarantee it. Not that I guarantee it. Lord Chaitanya has guaranteed it. The soul has to go back home, back to Godhead. And the way that's going to happen is if the soul agrees to engage all of his psychophysical energies and his whole heart in the performance of Sneha Samyukta Harinam Sankirtan. Sneha means with affection. Samyukta means complete engagement. Full on. Fired up. And back home, back to Godhead in this one life. Harinama, 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 Eva Kivalam, Kalona, Stevena, 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 Piramika. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.